Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Again, it is good to see each and every one. I am so thankful that you are here. Thankful for all those who have helped participate within our worship service this morning. Brother Ralph for leading singing, and those who have been around the table and offered prayer. And it's so wonderful when there's so many of us here that can do that. And I know for me it really encourages my worship and encourages my worship here as we think about God and try to serve Him as best we can. But I am delighted to see all of you this morning. We want to continue our lesson in John chapter 11 as we've been talking about the death of Lazarus. And we did this last week going through, beginning in chapter 11 and verse 1, talking about Christ Jesus and what was going on with Him as Lazarus had died. And we see that Christ Jesus was with His disciples when Lazarus had died, and it was Mary and Martha that had sent to Christ Jesus to let Him know that the one that He loved, and this was Mary and Martha's description to God, the one that He loved was very sick. And we see that Jesus had said that this sickness was not unto death, but it was that the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through Him. Today we're going to get into that, where we see how God is going to be glorified, how Christ Jesus is going to be glorified. But we find that Christ Jesus, when He had heard that Lazarus was sick, He waited till He went to see him. He waited until Lazarus was passed, that he had died. And we find that Jesus Himself says in verse 15, "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to Him." See, a miracle is about to take place. It is unheard of. A miracle is about to take place that simply cannot be replicated without the power of God. What we're going to see within this chapter that Brother Bill has read to us here this morning is the fact that this cannot happen outside of the miraculous. None of us in here has ever witnessed something being dead for 4 days and coming back to life. And we talked last week that the idea among the Jews was that after 4 days, the spirit would leave the body. Isn't it interesting that Christ Jesus did not go to Lazarus until those 4 days were up, so that the Jews could not say, well, Lazarus was only mostly dead, or Lazarus was partly dead? But no, according to the Jewish tradition, the spirit had left the body. It was undoubtedly the case that Lazarus then was dead. What we see is Jesus is traveling to go and to see Lazarus, and His disciples have great concern. Remember at the end of chapter 10, there was efforts that were being done to stone Jesus. There were those that simply wanted to kill Him, and Jesus was going to have to pass that way again. The disciples said, "Are you sure that you want to go this way? Are you sure that we want to go back to the place where they try to bring you harm, that they try to cause your own death?" And of course, Jesus said that Lazarus was asleep, and the disciples, confused in this, simply said, "If Lazarus sleeps, then he is going to get better. He needs some rest." But Jesus spoke very plainly and said, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but He says that Lazarus is dead," in verse 14. "And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." What a concept, as we talked last week, Jesus making that statement that Lazarus, the one that He has loved, the family of Mary, of Martha, of Lazarus, He loves this family, has spent time with this family, and He says, "I'm glad that I wasn't there when this happened." And certainly we can understand that by Christ not being there, that He could do nothing at that point in time, but yet the miracle was going to come so that others could know that Christ Jesus was and He is the Son of God, that the power had been given to Him to be able to do so. Well, we find that Jesus talks to Martha as He's on the way. We see that great statement that Christ makes in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live." We understand that here upon this earth, we are going to die. We are going to pass on someday. But in Christ, we're going to live. Because He resurrected, if we are in Christ, we ourselves will resurrect as well. Well, this brings us to where we want to start today in verse 28. And go ahead and bear with me as I read 28 through 37 here. "And when she had said these things, she went her way, and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, "The teacher has come and is calling for you." And soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into town, but he was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." And then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying?" Indeed, Christ Jesus could have. Indeed, he could have prevented the death of Lazarus. But what we find is the great teaching that's going to come within this lesson, the fact that after one has died, that Christ has the ability to bring them back to the life. And you consider the spiritual aspect of this, that again, we in Christ will die. We will go away from this earth, but spiritually speaking, we will rise again to have that hope of eternal life that can only come in Christ. So yes, Christ Jesus could have prevented Lazarus from dying, but yet we see of the truth, the power that is in Christ, the power that is in God, is going to be revealed so that everyone can know and understand that there is a God, that Christ Jesus is the Son of God, and in Him is all power, and in Him is all hope, that we may have life eternal. What a great thing it is to know that Christ Jesus gives us that hope, that as we can go through life, we do not have to fear death such as Lazarus died right here. That we know it's going to happen, we know that it's going to come to pass, but what we look forward to, the joy that we have, is in the fact that in Christ, we will live again. There's nobody in this face of this earth that can prevent the first death. You cannot stop it. It comes, and it comes, and it comes. And how often are we reminded of the fact that man lives here upon this earth for a few short years, and then their life is called from him. There is not one single person that will not experience death here upon this earth. But what we can know, that there are some, that is the first death, the second death, which is the separation of God being cast into the lake of fire, does not have to come for those that are in Christ Jesus. Because he is the resurrection and he is the life. Only in him do we have that promise. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. Can't help but think a little bit about Christ Jesus when he was buried. When he was put in that tomb, and we know that there was a stone that was rolled in front of that tomb. This is very traditional during this period of time. We know that there are those that are buried in this fashion. They are put in a tomb. The stone is put across that tomb so the body can decay. And I want you to remember as we consider this story that it has been 4 days since the death of Lazarus. We understand and know what begins to happen to a body, what begins to happen to flesh. As soon as it dies, it begins to decay. As soon as it dies, it begins to simply shrivel up. It begins to rot. Lazarus being in this tomb for 4 days. Yes, we find that true it was spoken by Martha when she said, "Lord, by this time there is a stench." Undoubtedly, there was going to be a stench that would come from that tomb. But we see the greatness of God, the greatness of Christ, who asked the question, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Friends, we have to believe as we go through this life. we see that Jesus commands this stone to be rolled away. Take away this stone. Remove this stone. And yet we see that there are the compliance of those that listen to Christ Jesus. Even at Martha, she said, no, we can't remove this stone. It's going to stink. There's going to be a smell that comes forth from there. That simply, I don't want to smell. I don't want to have that come to my nostrils. Now, I don't know that I've ever smelled the death of human flesh. But I have smelt the death of other flesh. And I know that the smell is simply hideous. I know that the smell is enough to turn my stomach when it comes to me. I imagine for a psychological aspect or from that aspect that knowing that it was human flesh that would put off this smell that would make it even of greater difficulty. But we must never forget. We must never forget. We look upon those things that are here upon this earth. God, Christ is spiritual and their things are greater than our perception of things here upon this earth. Jesus orders that door or that stone to be rolled away, and there were those that simply listened to Christ Jesus. Those that simply moved that stone. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? There's no difference in that for you and I today. There's no difference as we go through this life that if we believe, and don't think I'm standing up here and teaching belief only. We know that there are things that we must do to become a Christian. But if we believe, we are also going to see the glory of God. Can you imagine that time when that great judgment comes? When the nations are parted from the right to the left? When there are those that have been faithful in Christ that stand before Christ and we hear, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. And we're going to go into the joys of heaven, a place that my mind only can somewhat go to even comprehend or understand, but it is a place that is going to show the glory of God in everything that is there. Yes, I believe. And there are things that I face here upon this earth, things that you face upon this earth, that just absolutely seem impossible. And yet it is God that can deliver us from those things. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, we see Jesus beginning to pray. We've often talked about prayer and understand that Jesus is possibly the greatest example, is the greatest example, not possibly, is the greatest example of prayer that we have within the Bible. He prayed prior to doing everything. And we see him here as Lazarus is going to be raised from the dead, that Jesus begins to pray, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this that they may believe that you sent me. Boy, we need to pray. We need to pray that same prayer. We gather here this morning with belief in God. We gather here this morning understanding that we serve a God that loves us, that we should want to be and be invested in being the church, God's people, God's children, that we should want to come as much as anything, more than anything, that we do in life to be in the presence of God and to reverence Him for all things that He has done. Boy, we are thankful for that. But you know, like Jesus prayed, we need to pray for those. We need to pray for those that don't believe. Those that don't have that mindset of I need to go and to be in the presence of God. Those that have that mindset that God is not first and foremost within their life. Because our belief in God is going to lead us to do things within this life in which God will become first and foremost in our thoughts, in our affections, and in everything that we do in life. Friends, we cannot help but grow as Christians as we go through this life. That we serve God and that we follow after Him. How thankful we are for the grace that has been extended to us. That we can come and we can have this opportunity. We pray so much thanksgiving for those things. But let us pray also for those such as Christ prayed for here. Those that don't believe that God sent Christ Jesus to walk here upon the face of the earth. They need to know. They need to hear. And just as there was as the people that were angry because Lazarus came forth, we find them here today as well. But we pray the same prayer. We teach the same truth and we preach Christ Jesus and Him crucified. Resurrected from that grave that there can be a hope of eternal life. Jesus prayed this prayer. Father, I thank You that You have heard me. And I pray that You hear me again because these people that surround me, they need to know that there is a God and that God, You have sent me and that they will believe in You. And with those things, with saying these things, He cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Isn't that interesting? He cried with a loud voice. He didn't whisper into the cave. He didn't use it through some type of ESP or meditation. He cried, Lazarus, come forth. And lo and behold, he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Christ Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. There was Lazarus that had been in his tomb for 4 days. 4 days. Still wrapped up in the garments, in the cloth. Those clothes that are put on when one dies. His face was wrapped in cloth. And Jesus said, loose him. I can't help but think a little bit right now, that when we come forth from the grave in the resurrection, that we will be loosed. Yeah. We will be loosed and we will be let go. You think about going into the watery grave of baptism. Why do we do that? Well, it's commanded. But we go in that our sins may be washed away, that we are sins to slavery if we're not in Christ, and we need for sin to let go. We need for sin to be gone and out of our life. And so we come up out of that grave a new creature. We see it in baptism. We see it in the hope that we have of eternal life. That in Christ Jesus we may believe. The power that exists over life and death. And we find that when Christ Jesus died and He was resurrected, that death was overcome. That there is no more death in such a sense, that there will not be a resurrection. How great it is that in Christ Jesus we live again. But you know, it's not enough for some people, is it? It's not enough. My prayer is for all of us to serve God with His commands in mind and not my own thoughts. My prayer is that I don't let my think so or my feel so get in front of God says so. That I don't let this world influence my decisions to be a Christian and to serve Christ and to serve God. And I work hard to not let the devil come and take me away from Christ because of my own selfish interest. So what happens when Lazarus comes from the grave? In verse 45, it says that many of the Jews who had come to Mary had seen the things Jesus did, believe in Him. How could you not? How could you not? And I don't care if it's 4 days, if it's 4 years, if it's 400 years, if it's 4,000 years. If we are in Christ, Christ will bring us up out of that tomb alive. Amen. And that is the hope as Christians that we have. This wasn't done in the dark. It was done in witnesses so that they may believe, and there was those that believed. But then there's always that group. Some of them saw the things that were done And they went away and they told the Pharisees all that Jesus had done. And the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What shall we do? For this man works many signs." Now the amazing thing to me is that this question was asked, what should we do? I tell you what you should do. You just saw a man bring back somebody that had been dead 4 days and brought him back to life. I tell you what, if it were me, I'd believe in what this man did. I don't need to ask that question. What are we going to do? Boy, it's pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? But see, the problem is the Pharisees, if they believe in Christ, then it's going to hurt their livelihood. It's going to hurt their position that they have in society. Oh, friends, we need to pray for those. We need to pray for those that let position in society and let things that we think we are get in the way of being what we or get in the way of what we know we should be. God-fearing Christians, servants, that our goal in life is to do what is right in His sight and to follow Him. Listen to what they said in verse 48. If we let Him alone like this, everyone will believe in Him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." I'm going to back up and read that verse again. Listen very closely to what Caiaphas said. "Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people and not that the whole nation should perish." Now Caiaphas was talking here that Jesus needs to die so our nation is not ruined. But you think about the deeper meaning that is there. Verse 51 said, "Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation." Is it not expedient that Jesus should die, that the nation not perish? Think about that. Jesus did die so all nations of the world would not perish. What a concept. The high priest says this, not of his own authority. But how revealing is that to you and I? Was it expedient for one man to die? Well, as far as we're concerned, it was, wasn't it? And not so we can have power, not so that we can have prestige and honor here upon this earth, but it was expedient for one man to die that we can have that hope of eternal life. One man will die. And not for that nation only, in verse 52, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Now think about the Jews being scattered abroad, trying to bring them at this point back to God. We know that the Jews rejected and the gospel was extended to the Gentiles. Apostle Peter was told, given the keys of the kingdom of God. What is bound in heaven will be bound on earth. What is loose, or what is bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What is loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. The idea was that the Apostle Paul would be given the Holy Spirit. And it was the case that these things were predetermined in heaven. And that which he had spoken was already determined for what needed to be said. And so it was on the day of Pentecost that the Apostle Peter took the gospel to those Jews who were at Jerusalem. And a few chapters later, where do we find the Apostle Peter taking the gospel? To a man by the name of Cornelius, who was a Gentile. The gospel spread. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And a Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What do you think, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. And from that time, the plot to kill Jesus was there and intensified every moment. But think about those that came up and went into the temple, and they sought Jesus. Well, there's a lesson right there, isn't there? They sought Jesus. They sought Jesus. You know, this Jesus that performed so many miracles as He walked here upon the earth is the same Jesus that died for you and I. The same Jesus that had Lazarus come forth from that tomb is that same Jesus that gives you and I power to come forth from that tomb alive in Him. What a great blessing. What a great blessing. Christ Jesus loves in a way that I don't fully understand. The decision has been made that He would die for all mankind. And so it was expedient that He died that the nation may not perish. And now we know that those that come to Christ have that hope and have that promise. Those that come to Christ will live. You know, I often think about Lazarus coming back from the grave. I often wonder what that would be like. You know, what did Lazarus see? Where did Lazarus go? What did Lazarus know? And it's not revealed. You know, I almost wonder at some point in time if Mary, Martha, and Lazarus sat down, it'd be hard not to ask the question, wouldn't it? We're going to tell you what was going on here these 4 days. Why don't you tell us what was going on with you? But we don't read about that. And I want to say, not only was the plot there to kill Jesus, we see in the next chapter, the plot is there to now kill Lazarus. You think about his eyewitness testimony. That's an interesting perspective. But Lazarus had to die again. But you know what? In Christ, it doesn't matter. In Christ, we'll rise to live. Have we put ourselves in a position that we may rise from that grave? That we may come forth from that grave? That we believe in the power of God and the forgiveness of our sins? That we may walk in eternal life? If you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, you're lost without Him. If you believe that Christ Jesus is that Son of God and you're willing to confess your faith, repent of your sins. We have water. We'll baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You will arise to walk in a newness of life. That folks, one day, Christ Jesus is going to come again. And those that are faithful and dead in Christ will come up out of those graves. And those that are alive will be caught up with them. To go on to the judgment, to be judged for everything according to our works. According to the life that we've lived. According to whether or not we've been faithful to God. And we are sinners, but yet it is the blood of Christ that washes that sin away. That we may stand before Him. That we can hear, "Enter in, thou good and faithful servant." You know, Jesus said, "Loose him and let him go." You think of heaven, think of some of those things we're going to be loosed from. We're going to be loosed from pain, from sorrow, from sadness. We're going to be loosed from sin. Every negative thing that you can think of as we go through this life, we will be loosed from that. I'll share this with you. I don't know if I should or not, but I will anyway, and it wouldn't be the first time I'll be in trouble today. One of the times I went to visit Brother George, he and I were talking. He was writing. And me not thinking that he can hear, I was writing also. You know, George put, when I get to heaven, his pain's going to go away. Man, that's impactful, isn't it? That's impactful. That's a right perception as we go through life. Pain will go away. Sorrow will be no more. There will be no more suffering. And the Apostle Paul had it right. This light affliction is but for a moment. The joy of God is forever. The joy of God is eternal. And if you don't have that joy today, I want to encourage you, get right with Christ. If you need baptized, let's baptize you today. So that you may start your walk with God, walk with Christ, in such a way in which you can grow and develop and have that peace and promise, that hope. And no matter how many days you have here upon this earth, whenever your name is called, you've got a place of peace that we're going to go. And in that last day, be reunited with the saints of all time. If you've once taken those steps and have fallen back into the ways of the world, if you've had the ugliness of sin come and blot your life again, I encourage you, clean it. Clean it. There's power in that blood. There's power to wash away those sins. And there's power to continue to wash away those sins to those that are faithful and righteous before God. Friends, if you're here this morning and you're subject to this invitation anyway, I encourage you. Come now, together we stand and as we sing.